It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Underway on a Saturday here at the State Fair. Steve Thompson, Josh Wheeler, our engineer on site, Jonathan Lowe in the studios downtown. We have the Twins and the Blue Jays coming up later on. Our lineup card at 5:30, first pitch at 6:10. And by the way, typically at this time we have Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart, but Doug's taking Labor Day weekend off, and we hope to bring you Tech Talk next week. But Doug taking the day off, and once again, we hope Doug's enjoying a beautiful day. But joining us today, a regular guest on the show over the years, and we really do appreciate his time. And he is here on the porch at the fair, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Mike, good to see you, and thanks so much for the time over the years.
Well, and thank you for having me. It really is a pleasure to be here and to visit in person. I know oftentimes we do our things remotely, but it's nice to be able to be face-to-face for a change and out here at the fair with all these fine people here
now,
sharing it.
Have you been to the fair before today, or is this your first visit?
Oh, no, this is the second time I've been here so far this year. DPS, we have a large display in the education building. And so at OTS Day, I worked out there for part of the day. So, yeah, this is the second time through for me.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about what people can find at the fair, because it is very busy today. I've been sitting in this spot on Saturdays and Sundays for many, many years, and I think we're going to get very close to a record crowd today. But if they do stop by the Department of Public Safety exhibit here at the fair in the education building, what are they going to see?
There's a little bit of everything. The Department of Public Safety is a really diverse agency within state government, and every one of our divisions is represented there, and there's all kinds of information. Everything, obviously, from the traffic safety part of it. The Bureau of Criminal Apprehension has their own display there. All of our other sister divisions, from the Fire Marshal's Office, Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement, and of course our partners at Driver and Vehicle Services have a large display there, and I believe they have a kiosk set up, so if you need to renew your tabs, you can actually go in there and take care of that.
That's handy. That's and by the way, over the years that's gotten really easy. I get the notice online, do it online, and they show up really quickly in the mail. So renewing tabs is cool. And by the way, my wife's vehicle and my vehicle, we've picked out new plates. That's been kind of a cool thing too.
You know, if there isn't a license plate that fits your personality in Minnesota, I'm not sure where we can help you out there. I'm a real big fan, mainly for cosmetic purposes, but I like the new blackout plate. And I've actually put those on one of my trucks, and I really like the way those look and stand out.
Yeah, and you see them everywhere. As a matter of fact, when I got mine, I have a black pickup truck, and it looks really good on that. But I got more compliments at work about those plates. Like, what's the deal? Where'd you get those plates? And it's like, well, when you renew your tabs, you can get new plates, and it's a few extra bucks to get those. And then once the tabs came from my wife's van, her and my daughter picked out the Pollinator plates, and they look kind of good with that van. So you're right. There are a lot of options now, and it's been very popular.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, the conservation plates and that extra fee that you pay for those personalized plates or those special edition plates, it all goes to very good, very solid efforts that the finance helps to support.
Outstanding cause, and of course colleges, the pro teams, etc. A lot of options when it comes to plates. When we get together on the air and you join us several times a year, and once again we do appreciate that, we all share the roads in one way, shape, or form. And as the director of the Office of Traffic Safety, this is what you do for a living, to make the roads as that we all share as safe as possible. And more and more people are moving into the metro area in particular. More and more people are using the roads. It seems as though those traffic levels have returned to normal. I know during COVID, the roads were pretty empty, but do you see the same thing, that traffic levels have returned to normal here in the metro?
That's a great point, Steve. And it's not just that they've returned to normal. They've exceeded what we saw pre-COVID.
Oh, wow.
So we are beyond what we were seeing in 2019 with the amount of traffic that we're seeing on the road. Certainly the metro area is leading that, but we also see the same thing in some of the areas in greater Minnesota as well. So this creates, obviously, some more challenges for us in the traffic safety world. The congestion is back. And it's harder to get around. People get a little bit more impatient sometimes, but we all have to remember. And this is a great example. There's over 100,000 people here today. How did everybody get here? They came here, for the most part, by using our road system. And so by keeping that road system safe, we can get everybody in and out of the fair safely. You can get here, and you go home safe, and your family goes home safe.
Yeah, and it's not easy to build roads. It's expensive right away, expanding roads. We've seen that in parts of the metro when roads have been rebuilt, widened, major intersections, interchanges. Those are inconvenient during construction. But it's almost impossible to just build bigger roads. The expense is off the chain.
When I talk to our partners at MnDOT, that's, again, another great point. We can't build our way out of this. We need to find better and more efficient ways to use the infrastructure that's there. And at the same time, find new and better ways to improve the safety of that existing infrastructure. And I can tell you that our partners at MnDOT are really good at that. Couple of examples that you can take a look at that have had real-world positive results. Cable median bearing cables.
Yeah.
They've virtually eliminated cross-median fatality events in areas they've been installed. Look at reduced conflict intersections. They also almost eliminate serious and fatal crashes where they're installed. And roundabouts. Some people like them, some people don't, but roundabouts are a proven safety factor. It moves traffic efficiently, but it also reduces those high-speed right-angle crashes that result in those serious and fatal injuries.
And roundabouts are something that we've had a lot of questions over. And by the way, you'll be able to visit with Mike if you want to send us a text or call the program. You're welcome to do so at 651-461-9226. That is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line about the rules of the road. But roundabouts have come up a lot, and they're used on city streets. And in the suburb I live up in Champlin, more and more roundabouts are being put in. And once you get the hang of them, I think they're great. And even on rural roads where maybe two state highways meet, roundabouts are being put in. And you have a great explanation why they work and why they're much safer than, say, for instance, stop signs or stoplights.
Exactly. Stoplights, they're not something that is designed to improve efficiency. It really doesn't improve efficiency, and for the most part. But the roundabouts, they really do. I think of Highway 7 that runs from the metro area all the way out to the South Dakota border.
Correct.
And there's a number of roundabouts that have been installed on that stretch of road over the last 8 or 10 years. And they've had remarkable success in reducing those right-angle, high-speed intersection crashes. And, that's just one example. But, again, it is a proven safety factor. And, again, it's a matter of getting used to it, learning how to negotiate it. And then once you do that, it becomes almost second nature.
And really the biggest thing is, at those intersections, particularly on rural highways, is that vehicles in all directions are forced to slow down to navigate that intersection. They don't necessarily need to come to a complete stop. That's the beauty of a roundabout. But you have to slow down.
And that is the key part of why roundabouts are such an effective safety tool. Speed is the one thing that controls the outcome of a crash, because speed is energy. Energy is what causes injury and death. So if we can reduce that speed, and I can tell you right now, there's no roundabout that you're going to go through at 70 or 80 miles an hour. It just isn't going to happen. As a matter of fact, roundabouts are designed to calm traffic, to reduce that speed. So in the event that there is some type of a collision, it's going to be minor. And if the injuries occur at all, they're going to be very minor injuries, because there is not adequate speed or energy to trigger those more significant injuries.
And one of the things we're going to get into today with Mike is really the shocking level of speed we see at times on our local freeways, and for that matter, even on rural highways. People just driving way, way too fast. And we're going to get into that, and enhanced enforcement and things that the state patrol and local law enforcement are doing to slow people down. We'll get into that with Mike in a moment. And Mike Hansen is the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, and he joins us here at the State Fair, and we're here in until 5:30, Twins lineup card, Twins and Blue Jays coming up from Target Field. Jose Berríos will be on the mound, our old friend for the Blue Jays tonight. Should be a great night at Target Field here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Saturday at the fair. Huge crowds on the grounds today. I think we could see a state fair record today. It's going to be very close, and then great weather again tomorrow on the final day of the fair on Labor Day. Doug has a day off. He's enjoying Labor Day weekend. Got some plans with his wife, and that's good, and Doug will be back next week. We are very pleased to be joined by Mike Hansen, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, and we visited with Mike quite a bit over the years about our roads and rules of the road. And one of the things we talked about when COVID set in and the roads were empty, morning rush, evening rush. I had that long commute down to Eden Prairie and back, and it was weird. There was nobody on the roads. But it seems as though around that time, some of the people on the roads turned into speed demons. And that trend continues, doesn't it, Mike?
You're exactly correct. You know, there was just a lot more lane space, as I put before, a lot more lane space for people to use and to abuse. So there was less traffic, there was less congestion, there was more opportunity to really push that envelope, so to speak, and, you know, get those speeds way up there. The biggest concern with that is we haven't gotten that genie back in the bottle yet. We're still seeing those extreme speeds out there, speeds that are 30, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour over the posted speed limit. You know, these over 100 mile an hour violations, you know, they've in some cases tripled since pre-2019. And we need to figure out how to get that back under control, because that is absolutely a deadly combination.
And there are a limited number of highway patrol officers patrolling those roads that are under their jurisdiction in the state. Local law enforcement, they can't cover every mile. It is impossible.
No, you're right. I mean, the patrol does a good job, as do all of the local agencies out there that try and maintain that safety and that sanity on our roads. But really, this is a problem that is big enough that we can't enforce our way out of it. Our goal is voluntary compliance. People need to make good, smart decisions. And when you think about it, speed is the one thing that every driver is in complete control of every minute they're behind the wheel. And for somebody to exceed the speed limit by 20, 30, 40 miles an hour, that's a deliberate choice. That's not something that happens inadvertently or momentarily. That is something that happens because somebody chooses to do that. But that choice puts everybody else in danger that is trying to use that roadway with them. And you have to remember that we're sharing those roads with our family members, with our coworkers. Everybody's, you know, there's moms, there's dads, there's kids. And our transportation system really is dependent upon us cooperating with each other and not competing with each other. Our highway system is not a private playground. It is a way to get from point A to point B, and it has a defined set of rules to allow us to do that safely.
I remember in driver's ed years ago, you know, that driving is a privilege. It is not a right to get behind the wheel of a motor vehicle and drive on the public roadways. It isn't a right. It is a privilege. That privilege can be taken away. Are there mechanisms, and I know law enforcement relies on the laws that are written, can more be done to crack down on the bad actors? And that's, there's no excuse for driving 100 miles an hour.
And that, you know, we do have laws on the books that are pretty strict when it comes to that. If you're cited for over 100 miles an hour, not only is the fine going to be something north of $300, but you're looking at a mandatory driver's license suspension for 6 months. In some cases, that's longer than somebody would get for a first-time DWI offense. And so the law does recognize the danger that is posed by somebody driving over 100. But again, when we look at the numbers out there, and, you know, I just looked at a news story this morning. A young man in Minneapolis passed away as a result of injuries he sustained last month. He's riding a bike or a scooter or something home and going through an intersection on a city street when a car going 70-plus miles an hour hits him. 70-plus miles an hour on a city street. There's just no excuse for that.
Right.
That is just unacceptable.
And Mike, do you think that at some point, and it is hard to predict, but I know there are 18-wheelers, and some trucking companies limit the speed of those trucks so those drivers cannot drive that vehicle over 65 or 70 miles an hour. Could it get to the point where it would be mandated, sorry, this vehicle can't go by law, some sort of governor, some sort of speed limiting system that says, sorry, you can't legally or even possibly drive the vehicle over 70 miles an hour or whatever?
That would probably be the ideal solution because we take that decision making out of the human equation. I don't know if we'll ever get to that point in this country. I do know the European Union is adopting that very technology. But certainly I think the manufacturers also need to acknowledge some of the challenges that are posed by the technology and the vehicles that are being put on the road. You know, you can go into a local car dealer, plop down, you know, a few thousand dollars on a down payment, drive out of there with a car that has 600 or 700 horsepower. Well, you and I are kind of the same generation. When we grew up, if you had a car like that with 600 or 700 horsepower, it belonged on a racetrack. It was not street legal.
Right.
Now, that may be a little extreme, but the human part of this is the one that we focus on at the Office of Traffic Safety. We focus on trying to change human behavior for the better and giving people the information to make good, safe decisions. Because Minnesotans, if they have the right information, they will make good decisions most of the time. Now, everybody has a momentary slip-up every now and then, but if we can just get back to treating driving, as you rightly said, as a privilege and something we need to add a dose of courtesy to, we can make a significant difference on our roads.
I think a great example would be seatbelts. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would say, yeah, when you were a baby, we brought you home from the hospital over at Bethesda in St. Paul. We laid you in the back seat. Nobody wore seat belts. And if they had seat belts, they were lap belts. Attitudes have really changed about that available technology. It's been around a long time. But seat belts are super effective. And I would assume people using seat belts, the numbers are way up there.
They are way up there. And as a matter of fact, we just completed our annual seatbelt observational survey. And I'd have to look at the numbers again, but our compliance rate in Minnesota is just about 95%.
Wow.
Now, contrast that, you know, I started in law enforcement in the mid-1980s, so a long, long time ago.
Sure.
At that time, the compliance rate was somewhere around 20%. So we've got roughly 5% of our population that still doesn't take 2 seconds to put that seatbelt on. But yet that 5% is represented in one-third of our fatalities. And so that is absolutely something we have to continue to pay attention to and continue to try and encourage people to make that safe decision to put that seatbelt on every trip, every time, every occupant, every vehicle.
Well, and I can say a seatbelt and an airbag saved my life. A couple of winters ago, I hit a scattered slippery spot and went into a freeway wall head-on in my pickup truck right under Boone Avenue on 694 in Brooklyn Park. Had I not had the combo platter of a working airbag and my seatbelt fastened, I likely don't walk away from that. I probably don't survive. The truck was destroyed, but the airbag and seatbelt did what it did. I walked away from it. And that, I mean, I'm a living example of seatbelts and airbags. In a situation where I was driving safely, went under the bridge, hit a spot, lost control of my truck in an instant, and went head-on into the wall between the eastbound and westbound lanes.
And there's a great point to be taken from your story there, and I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah.
Because the safety systems worked. But here's the thing you have to remember. As well-designed as our cars are today, as safe as all those safety systems are, everything starts and ends with that seatbelt. Because without that seatbelt, your airbag won't do what it needs to do. All of the other safety systems in the car won't protect you like that seatbelt does. Okay. That seatbelt holds you in the safest place of the car. And if you're not there, you can't be protected by the rest of the car.
Yeah, I'll never forget. We've got a break for the weather coming up, and we'll have more with Mike from the fair. But the one thing that really stood out to me when the tow truck driver showed up, because it was very busy, there were a lot of incidents on the freeway system, and when I called it in, I said, I think I'm okay. I was able to force the door open. It was kind of pinned shut and was able to get out of the vehicle. And the tow truck driver said, you walked away from that? He was amazed that I was able to get out of that vehicle and walk away. I was sore for about a month. I was really sore. But I feel very, very lucky. So that's my personal statement about seatbelts and airbags. Quick break. We'll come back. Mike Hansen joining us, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety. We're going to talk about a very important topic, and that is impaired driving and impaired driving enforcement here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. And we're back here at the fair. Steve Thompson along with Mike Hansen, the Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us here at the fair. And we've talked about the education building in the Department of Public Safety. You can stop by and see the exhibits, get more information on all the work the Department of Public Safety does, and of course, Mike with the Office of Traffic Safety. One of the things we touched on before the break was technology in vehicles to make them safer. You know, warnings that you're drifting out of your lane. We're seeing more autonomous features. You and I have talked about this before. It still seems like we're a long way away from self-driving vehicles.
You're exactly right. The technology continues to evolve very rapidly, but we're still years away from actually being able to hop out into a car and have it take us from point A to point B with no human interaction. What is being developed, or what are referred to as the advanced automated driver assist systems, or ADAS systems, and these are, you know, your automatic emergency braking, your lane keeping assistance, you know, systems like that that help a driver be a better driver. the thing that we're seeing that we really people need to know how to interact with those systems, because if they're used improperly or if they're disengaged, you're not getting any of the benefit from them.
Yeah, and Mike, one of the things I've noticed, particularly in parking lots, in my wife's van and now in my truck, while I'm backing out of a spot, there will be warnings where there's a vehicle coming up or backup cameras in driveways, parking lots, etc. Those can enhance safety of pedestrians big time. And if those features are used properly, they have to save lives and help avoid injury.
Exactly. And again, that's the whole point of those systems, is to help the driver, assist the driver, be better, be safer, have a better view. You know, with the way cars have evolved, you know, the A pillar, the B pillar, and the C pillar, those things that attach the roof to the body of the car, they've become much more robust over the years. I think back, you know, to the days when I was learning to drive, you know, those A and B pillars were maybe as big around as your forearm. Well, they've become much more robust and stout. And as a result, those blind spots have become much bigger for us. And so anytime we can use technology to make the human a more effective and a more safe controller of that motor vehicle, that's a good thing. That's a positive.
Yeah, lane changes at highway speeds. Sometimes you'll get a warning that someone snuck up into that blind spot on either side if you're doing a lane change. That's come in extremely handy. And that gets back to speed. If someone's moving much quicker or much faster than the routes to traffic, that can be invaluable when someone sneaks up on you.
It's like having another set of eyes in the vehicle with you,
right?
And that pre-warning, so you don't make that mistake that could lead to a crash. That's what the benefit is.
Do you think there is value in your position as the director of the Office of Traffic Safety? And my insurance company has offered this, and you can sign up for it voluntarily, where they will monitor your driving habits and give you a break. Are those things a good idea? Are they effective? Or are you kind of preaching to the choir, if you will?
It's a little bit of both, Steve.
Okay.
Because I really do like the idea of coming up with positive ways to incentivize good, safe driving, rather than just strictly relying on that punitive enforcement approach, coupled with outreach and education and all of that. So anybody who's paid your auto insurance rates lately knows what's happening with them. And so as a consumer, I'm kind of in the same boat you are. I will take advantage of that if it means I can get a little bit of a break on my insurance. Now, occasionally do I get a report that flags something or other that I don't agree with? Yes, you do. But the systems aren't perfect, but they're a lot better than not having anything at all. So I think anything we can do to help teach us to be better, safer drivers, that's a good thing.
One thing we've been hearing on the education front is, you know, don't drink and drive, for instance. And with new laws allowing the legal sale of cannabis and cannabis products, I'm sure that's created challenges for law enforcement enforcing those laws that say you can't drive while impaired. And that can be alcohol, cannabis, or other stuff, even prescription drugs. You know, you're given a new prescription, maybe to lower your blood pressure, and the doctor may say, yeah, you may want to take it easy here. This might impact your ability. This might make you drowsy, etc. As a driver, you need to be aware of all the things you consume that could impact your ability to drive.
That's exactly the point. And here's our basic message. Impaired is impaired. As you put very well, it doesn't matter what you're under the influence of. If it's alcohol, cannabis, a prescription drug, or something else that a person has chosen to use. If you feel different, you're going to drive different. And you shouldn't put yourself in the position of being behind the wheel of that car. And if you're in behind the wheel of the car and you're asking yourself, should I drive? It's already too late. Because you are, you know, it's too late to take that decision back. And so make that decision before you get behind the wheel. So impaired is impaired. It doesn't matter what it is. The laws for DWI apply to cannabis just like they apply to alcohol. It's the same law. It's just a different subdivision. And so that's really what we're emphasizing, is getting consumers the information that they need before cannabis really hits the market, which it will in the near future here in Minnesota. Again, an informed consumer is a consumer that will make better decisions if they have that information out front.
To enforce those laws, though, there has to be challenges. You know, there's a breathalyzer test that everyone's detect alcohol, blood alcohol. People are familiar with that. There's been enough education and word of mouth. But when it comes to cannabis and other things, it's a little more challenging for law enforcement.
It is more challenging, and we've put a tremendous amount of resource into our law enforcement training programs that we support through the Office of Traffic Safety. And it's primarily through the Drug Recognition and Evaluation Program that we work with the State Patrol on as the statewide coordinator. What a DRE is a highly trained peace officer, a trooper, officer, or deputy that has an extensive amount of training recognizing somebody who's under the influence of something other than alcohol. And they'll perform a clinical examination on somebody, and with a great degree of accuracy, they will be able to determine what category or categories of controlled substance somebody may be under the influence of. Now, to further bolster that effort, we're just in the process now of concluding a pilot project that the legislature authorized for us to study roadside oral fluid testing units that are designed to look at a person's oral fluid for controlled substances, just the same way that a PBT is used to look at alcohol. So the oral fluid test will look for up to 6 different drug categories, including cannabis and some of the other more common substance categories out there. And within about 5 minutes, we'll tell the officer whether it's present or not. Now, it's still up to the officer to determine that impairment through field sobriety testing and through their observations of physical impairment. But the tools together really do make for an effective way to combat drug-impaired driving on Minnesota roads.
For years, we've been hearing don't drink and drive. Are people hearing that? Or has progress been made on reducing the number of people that drink and drive? Cannabis has been around a long time. It will become legal here in the state of Minnesota and be readily available here in the state of Minnesota. It's already available in other states and readily available. But when it comes to the old drink and drive, having way too many beers and getting in the car, are we making progress?
And that's one positive that I can point to. We have a lot of work to do yet. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I started in law enforcement in the mid-1980s. At that time, over half of the fatality crashes that we investigated were the direct result of an alcohol-impaired driver. Today, that number stands at around 30%. And so one-third of our fatalities are still tied to an impaired driver. The vast majority of those are alcohol. So that's over 100 lives a year that we're still losing as a result of alcohol-impaired driving. So we have more work to do there, but we're making progress. And as on the cannabis front, we're really, what the emphasis at DPS has been, is to be proactive with our messaging, our outreach, and our engagement. Creating the messaging and the outreach efforts that will resonate with potential consumers so that they can make safe decisions when they choose to use cannabis and not get behind the wheel.
Quick break. We have more with Mike.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or Unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here at the fair. Steve Thompson, along with Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us here at the fair. And we've talked about the education building in the Department of Public Safety. You can stop by and see the exhibits, get more information on all the work the Department of Public Safety does, and of course, Mike with the Office of Traffic Safety. One of the things we touched on before the break was technology in vehicles to make them safer. You know, warnings that you're drifting out of your lane. We're seeing more autonomous features. You and I have talked about this before. It still seems like we're a long way away from self-driving vehicles.
You're exactly right. The technology continues to evolve very rapidly, but we're still years away from actually being able to hop out into a car and have it take us from point A to point B with no human interaction. What is being developed, or what are referred to as the advanced automated driver assist systems, or ADAS systems, and these are, you know, your automatic emergency braking, your lane keeping assistance, you know, systems like that that help a driver be a better driver. The thing that we're seeing that we really, people need to know how to interact with those systems, because if they're used improperly or if they're disengaged, you're not getting any of the benefit from them.
Yeah, and Mike, one of the things I've noticed, particularly in parking lots, in my wife's van and now in my truck, while I'm backing out of a spot, there will be warnings where there's a vehicle coming up, or backup cameras. In driveways, parking lots, etc., those can enhance safety of pedestrians big time. And if those features are used properly, they have to save lives and help avoid injury.
Exactly. And again, that's the whole point of those systems, is to help the driver, assist the driver, be better, be safer, have a better view. You know, with the way cars have evolved, you know, the A pillar, the B pillar, and the C pillar, those things that attach the roof to the body of the car, they've become much more robust over the years. I think back, you know, to the days when I was learning to drive, you know, those A and B pillars were maybe as big around as your forearm. Well, they've become much more robust and stout. And as a result, those blind spots have become much bigger for us. And so anytime we can use technology to make the human a more effective and a more safe controller of that motor vehicle, that's a good thing. That's a positive.
Yeah, lane changes at highway speeds. Sometimes you'll get a warning that someone snuck up into that blind spot on either side if you're doing a lane change. That's come in extremely handy. And that gets back to speed. If someone's moving much quicker or much faster than the routes to traffic, that can be invaluable when someone sneaks up on you.
It's like having another set of eyes in the vehicle with you,
right?
And that pre-warning, so you don't make that mistake that could lead to a crash. That's what the benefit is.
Do you think there is value in your position as the director of the Office of Traffic Safety? And my insurance company has offered this, and you can sign up for it voluntarily, where they will monitor your driving habits and give you a break. Are those things a good idea? Are they effective? Or are you kind of preaching to the choir, if you will?
It's a little bit of both, Steve.
Okay.
Because I really do like the idea of coming up with positive ways to incentivize good, safe driving, rather than just strictly relying on that punitive enforcement approach, coupled with outreach and education and all of that. So anybody who's paid your auto insurance rates lately knows what's happening with them. And so as a consumer, I'm kind of in the same boat you are. I will take advantage of that if it means I can get a little bit of a break on my insurance. Now, occasionally do I get a report that flags something or other that I I don't agree with? Yes, you do. But the systems aren't perfect, but they're a lot better than not having anything at all. So I think anything we can do to help teach us to be better, safer drivers, that's a good thing.
One thing we've been hearing on the education front is don't drink and drive, for instance. And with new laws allowing the legal sale of cannabis and cannabis products, I'm sure that's created challenges for law enforcement enforcing those laws that say you can't drive while impaired. And that can be alcohol, cannabis, or other stuff, even prescription drugs. You're given a new prescription, maybe to lower your blood pressure, and the doctor may say, yeah, you may want to take it easy here. This might impact your ability. This might make you drowsy, etc. As a driver, you need to be aware of all the things you consume that could impact your ability to drive.
That's exactly the point. And here's our basic message. Impaired is impaired. As you put very well, it doesn't matter what you're under the influence of. If it's alcohol, cannabis, a prescription drug, or something else that a person has chosen to use. If you feel different, you're going to drive different. And you shouldn't put yourself in the position of being behind the wheel of that car. And if you're in behind the wheel of the car and you're asking yourself, should I drive? It's already too late. Because you are, it's too late to take that decision back. And so make that decision before you get behind the wheel. So impaired is impaired. It doesn't matter what it is. The laws for DWI apply to cannabis just like they apply to alcohol. It's the same law. It's just a different subdivision. And so that's really what we're emphasizing is getting consumers the information that they need before cannabis really hits the market, which it will in the near future here in Minnesota. Again, an informed consumer is a consumer that will make better decisions if they have that information out front.
To enforce those laws, though, there has to be challenges. There's a breathalyzer test that everyone's detect alcohol, blood alcohol. People are familiar with that. There's been enough education and word of mouth. But when it comes to cannabis and other things, it's a little more challenging for law enforcement.
It is more challenging, and we've put a tremendous amount of resource into our law enforcement training programs that we support through the Office of Traffic Safety. And it's primarily through the Drug Recognition and Evaluation Program that we work with the State Patrol on as the statewide coordinator. What a DRE is a highly trained peace officer, a trooper, officer, or deputy that has an extensive amount of training recognizing somebody who's under the influence of something other than alcohol. And they'll perform a clinical examination on somebody, and with a great degree of accuracy, they will be able to determine what category or categories of controlled substance somebody may be under the influence of. Now, to further bolster that effort, we're just in the process now of concluding a pilot project that the legislature authorized for us to study roadside oral fluid testing units that are designed to look at a person's oral fluid for controlled substances just the same way that a PBT is used to look at alcohol. So the oral fluid test will look for up to 6 different drug categories, including cannabis and some of the other more common substance categories out there. And within about 5 minutes, we'll tell the officer whether it's present or not. Now, it's still up to the officer to determine that impairment through field sobriety testing and through their observations of physical impairment. But the tools together really do make for an effective way to combat drug-impaired driving on Minnesota roads.
For years, we've been hearing don't drink and drive. Are people hearing that? Has progress been made on reducing the number of people that drink and drive? Cannabis has been around a long time. It will become legal here in the state of Minnesota and be readily available here in the state of Minnesota. It's already available in other states and readily available. But when it comes to the old drink and drive, having way too many beers and getting in the car, are we making progress?
And that's one positive that I can point to. We have a lot of work to do yet. But you know, as I mentioned earlier, I started in law enforcement in the mid-1980s. At that time, over half of the fatality crashes that we investigated were the direct result of an alcohol-impaired driver. Today, that number stands at around 30%. And so one-third of our fatalities are still tied to an impaired driver. The vast majority of those are alcohol. So that's over 100 lives a year that we're still losing as a result of alcohol-impaired driving. So we have more work to do there, but we're making progress. And as on the cannabis front, we're really, what the emphasis at DPS has been is to be proactive with our messaging, our outreach, and our engagement. Creating the messaging and the outreach efforts that will resonate with potential consumers so that they can make safe decisions when they choose to use cannabis and not get behind the wheel.
Quick break. We have more with Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we're going to talk about hands-free and get a clear description of what the hands-free law is and why it's so important not to be using the phone while driving. It's 11 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Big thanks to everyone joining us here at the fair, including our guest, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And before we run out of time, we've got to get into the hands-free law. I have to say, still see a lot of people holding the phone up to their ear or texting and driving. It is against the law. What does the law say, Mike?
This is an easy one, Ed, because the law simply states, and we updated it a year and a half ago, you can't have the phone in your hand, period. You cannot have it in your hand if you are the driver. It's that simple. If it's in hands-free mode and it's mounted, you can touch it once to wake it up, but you cannot have it in your hand at all, period.
Yeah, and that can result in a ticket. And the consequences of texting and driving or any sort of distracted driving, fooling around with the phone, there are serious consequences.
And there is tragedy after tragedy after tragedy that is linked directly to a driver, quite honestly, making that selfish decision that their need to interact on that phone put everybody else's life in danger. There is nothing... If you ask people, when's the last time your interaction on that cell phone in the car was a life and death matter? I can't think of anybody who's going to tell you that, that's the case. But that's exactly what you're doing when you're interacting with that phone and taking your attention away from that driving task. You're cognitively distracted, you're physically distracted, and you're visually distracted. That is a deadly trifecta of distraction.
Yeah, considering driving the speed limit on the freeways in town, 60 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour on some of the highways, on some of the rural interstates faster than that, you're traveling a great distance with your eye off the phone. Mike, always great. Good to visit with you. Once again, the rules of the road. We all share the roads. I just wish people would slow down. Stay
please,
off
people.
Phone. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
There he is, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Big thanks to everyone joining us here at the fair, including our guest, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And before we run out of time, we've got to get into the hands-free law. I have to say, still see a lot of people holding the phone up to their ear or texting and driving. It is against the law. What does the law say, Mike?
This is an easy one, Ed, because the law simply states, and we updated it a year and a half ago, you can't have the phone in your hand, period. You cannot have it in your hand if you are the driver. It's that simple. If it's in hands-free mode and it's mounted, you can touch it once to wake it up, but you cannot have it in your hand at all, period.
Yeah, and that can result in a ticket. And the consequences of texting and driving or any sort of distracted driving, fooling around with the phone, there are serious consequences.
And there is tragedy after tragedy after tragedy that is linked directly to a driver, quite honestly, making that selfish decision that their need to interact on that phone put everybody else's life in danger. There is nothing. If you ask people, when's the last time your interaction on that cell phone in the car was a life and death matter? I can't think of anybody who's going to tell you that, that's the case. But that's exactly what you're doing when you're interacting with that phone and taking your attention away from that driving task. You're cognitively distracted, you're physically distracted, and you're visually distracted. That is a deadly trifecta of distraction.
Yeah, considering driving the speed limit on the freeways in town, 60 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour on some of the highways, on some of the rural interstates faster than that, you're traveling a great distance with your eye off the phone. Mike, always great. Good to visit with you. Once again, the rules of the road, we all share the roads. I just wish people would slow down. Stay
please,
off
people.
Phone. Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
There he is, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.